God just to really enter into worship and just to really make God feel welcome. Amen. That's our desire this morning, and we want God to come feed us. He's allowed the Graham family to make it here safely, that God could really just sow the word in our lives. So we want to do our best just to make God feel welcome. Amen. Did you bring your expectation? Amen. You bring your desire to see God move. Amen. Praise God. Let's just sing that song if we can. There's what a day that will be. Amen. And there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye, and all is peace forevermore. Oh, on that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day. Shall see, and when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, hallelujah! What a day, glorious day. Thank you. that will be when I can finally see your face. Amen. Remember, as we've heard it said before, said, all it'll take is one glimpse of His face in glory, and you'll forget everything. He'll wipe every tear from your eye. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Let's just sing one more song. Let's sing that song, All the Way. I'm going all the way. Amen. And all the way, I'm going all the way. Shall be read. Amen. How many say, I got a testimony on my heart. God has been faithful to me. Amen. But by the grace of God this morning, you also may have a brother or sister or someone who's acquainted with you or just someone that you'd like to make an unknown prayer request for today. Is there anyone that would have that desire on their heart this morning? Amen. We're just going to ask if those are able to stand, we'll stand at this time. We're going to ask Brother Simon if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer and also for the tithes and offerings.
Yet, but Lord, we're counting on you to finish this work,
yes,
God, Lord. Lord,
yes.
We know this day will be more glorious than the first shake, God, Lord, and we're looking forward to it, God, and we know you're going to use us, Lord, in just a little humble, special, powerful way, God, Lord. We love you, Lord. Be with our pastor, God, as he leads songs, God, and Lord, be with our preacher, brother, Lord, as he brings this word, God, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Have your perfect way, Lord, this morning, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song, if we could. Let's sing that song, Such Love, amen. What a God we found, amen. What a love he's bestowed upon us, amen. That God should love a sinner. join the presence of God? Let's sing that song if we could. Let's sing a song, Here I Am to Worship. Amen. In light of the world, you step out into God. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore. Oh, come alive, step
My heart was distressed in Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord of mercy, my reclaim, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Oh, he brought me out of the fiery clay, and he set my free for the rock to stay. This morning was pour on the God and pour on the Lord and the gift that He's brought. Amen. Good to see they're able to travel out and make it here by His grace quite safely. Amen. And Brother John is such a precious brother of the family as well. So we just want God's blessing to be upon them. But we just want to give plenty of time for the Word of God this morning and just give God what we want Him to see. What do you want God to see? I want God to see my hunger for the Word of God. God, feed me with that Word, Lord. Lord, comfort me, shelter me, place me upon that rock. Amen. You like that? He set my feet on the rock. He pulled me up and I'll abide right next to Him. Amen. I'm hidden in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Let's just sing one more song as we invite Brother John out. And we'll certainly enjoy ourselves in the house of God. Four cups of water up here. There's plenty of water for him to drink. I don't know if some are left over from Wednesday, but maybe Brother John just really likes the water. Keep him coming.
Well, anyway, this morning we worship God. I feel like I gave God my all, amen. I just want God to feel welcome, amen. Let's sing that song, as me and Brother John. Let's sing that song, Jesus Took My Sins and He Rolled Them in the Sea, amen. You're sitting right here. The Word is getting ready to come to you. And where are your sins? He took them. He rolled them away. All he's got sitting in front of him is a new creature. Praise God. And Jesus took my sins and He rolled them in the sea. He rolled them in the sea. He rolled them in the sea. And now I have a peace that He has given me. You see, all my sins and burdens, He rolled them in the sea. Oh, Jesus took my sins and He rolled them in the sea. He rolled them in the sea. He rolled them in the sea. Now I have a word. And now I have a word that He has given me. You see all my sins and burdens. He rolled them in the... One more time. Oh, Jesus took my sins and He rolled them in the sea. Yes, He rolled them in the sea. Yes, He rolled them.
He's done it. Praise the Lord for what He does. No one can undo, right? Amen. And so I'm glad it was He the one that threw it in the sea there. Because if I did it, somebody, I could probably get it back out or find it again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. What God hath done, no man can undo. Amen. You've got to have that attitude here this morning. God's going to do a work in your life this morning that no man can undo. Praise the Lord. It's all about your attitude. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to some scriptures here together as we start off our sermon here. Thanks for all the water. Amen. Won't go thirsty. Amen. If you could, let's turn to Psalms 127:1, please. Psalms 127:1. It says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Amen. St. John 14, please. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. You may be seated there. Amen. Let's just bow our heads here as we pray. We're going to, Lord willing, we'd like to talk about the economy of God. So let's bow our heads here together as we ask God to come and dwell here with us. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord God, for this time. Lord, you see our frailties, Lord God. You see, Father, Lord, how many of us may be battling in our mind, Lord God. Father, no doubt all of us are. And no doubt, Father, we want you here. We desire you among us, Lord. We desire your economy, Father, to be with us, Lord God. Better yet, we want to be in your economy, Lord God. We want to be right there with you all the way, Lord God, as you build. Father, help us, Lord God, to build as well, Lord. Father, as you do, let us do as well, Lord. As we see you do, let us be conscious of your Spirit, Lord. And this morning, Lord God, I ask you to move, Father. You'd come, Father. Be with us, Lord. Help us all to get out of the way, Lord, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Father, let us, Father, think on the things of this great economy that you've put here on earth for us to build, Lord. Lord, we invite you here, Father. Help me to get out of the way, Lord. I need you to come, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Psalms 127, I thought, was a good fitting scripture for this. You may be seated if you'd like there. Sorry about that. Because, as we're going to discuss, there's four different types of economies that we're going to discuss here. And the Lord has got to build the economy that we dwell in, that we're a part of, right? Because, as Psalms 127 says, if the Lord doesn't build it, it's in vain, right? And there's a lot of building going on in this age. It's in vain. A lot of building, as we'll see. So we get into the different types of the economies here. And we have, of course, the natural economy. I think God's in a natural economy. There's many good things in this economy that God works in and through, right? So the natural economy. Doesn't it say in Daniel 2 that God sets up kingdoms and he tears them down? Right? Amen. So, this is just review. We'll go through these in great depth, probably, Lord willing. So also we have Satan's natural economy. Does anyone want to dispute with me that Satan has a natural economy on this earth? Does anyone don't believe me with this? Look around. Open your eyes. It's right in front of you. Everywhere you look, he's trying to entice you into it. Amen? How about God's spiritual economy? The first economy that was ever built. Amen? Yeah. That's right. In Satan's spiritual economy as well. You kind of see a pattern that I'm getting at here? First, there was God's economy, and then Satan come along and copied it. Right? Isn't he a copier? That's all he can do. He can't create. He can just copy. He perverts. He's a perverter. So God set these things up first. Amen. And Satan come along and copy. Look at all Satan's spiritual economy for a minute here. We see how we have many demons. That's a good example, right? How about Legion? We have the story of Legion. For we are many, right? He was building his economy, his spiritual economy inside this man, tormenting him. No doubt he was tormenting other people as well. They had to put him out of the city because he was probably such a terror, right? They had to take him out on the outside of the city and peg him up out there, and they could hardly keep him bound, right? So Satan wants to build that economy, that spiritual economy of his, as we'll see. Amen. All right. I like to go through a lot of scriptures, so I hope that's okay. I think you probably know this by now. So let's go to Exodus 14, please. Exodus 14, we'll start at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Who? To Egypt, right? It was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, Israel, so that the one came not near the other all night. Amen. Amen. So why am I saying this right now? Because it's important to start off with the scripture, because you have to realize that God is not only behind you protecting you, he's before you, right? He's all around you. Amen. As David found out that God told him, don't go until you see the rustling of the mulberry trees, for I am with you. Amen. How many times do we go before we see the rustling of the mulberry trees? Anybody do that? I know I do sometimes. We want God to always be before us. Amen. So that's why it's important to wait for the rustling of the mulberry trees, right? Because you know He can be right there before you. Amen. God will show you. You don't need to presume. You don't need to do that. Amen. Psalms 139:5 says in the Holgate Christian Standard Bible here, I like this translation, "You have encircled me. You have placed your hand upon me." Amen. Isn't that good? So God's all around you. You have to know this because in this great economy, it's everywhere. Everything you do, as we see, determines your place or position in this economy.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. So we must be very conscious of this. Now, who does anyone here, you can raise your hand if you'd like to. You don't have to. But does anybody have $100,000 in the bank account or more? $200,000? $50,000? $25,000? I'm not even raising my hand yet. I can't even raise my hand at $10,000. All right, well, that's okay because I'm going to show you how to become rich. We're going to talk about how to become rich. So if you want to become rich, listen real close to these things as we go down through them. All right, in the Church Age book, page 4, I want to read this to you. Money isn't everything. Money isn't the answer. And today, money is not the answer either. We have more wealth than we have ever had, and yet less is being accomplished spiritually. Oh my. Isn't that something? I wonder if there's a direct correlation between increase of wealth, naturally, and progress spiritually. I wonder if, sounds like there is. There very well may be. It is not with money that God works. He moves by His Spirit. Now, listen to this. And that moving of the Spirit comes only to a life consecrated to the Word. Oh, my. I think we all can improve with that, can't we? I have my hand raised. Amen. So if you want to, here's the first point. If you want to become rich, consecrate your life to the Word. Amen. Amen. We're talking about the economy of God here. Amen. A little bit of a compound effect. Let me share with you here, and we're just getting started here. Take a half hour every day invested in prayer, reading your Bible, studying, something like that. Something spiritual, right? Something where you can build up and lay up treasures in heaven, right? If you do that half hour, now hopefully we can do it more than that, but I'm just giving you an example. This is a compound effect. This is how it works. Half hour every day equals 182 and a half hours per year. Isn't that something? How about in 5 years, if you did that for 5 years, it'd be 912.5 hours. Just give God a little bit, right? He'll take a lot. He'll take it a whole long way. Amen? That's His economy. Amen. All right. Now listen to this. Our prosperity as a nation depends upon the personal. Now this is from a book about finances. It says it depends upon the personal financial prosperity of each of us as individuals. Think about that for a minute. Our prosperity as a nation depends upon the personal financial prosperity of each of its individuals. Doesn't that make sense? If the individuals of a nation are poor, is the nation going to be rich? If the individuals of a nation know nothing about how to generate wealth, is the nation going to be rich? No. It's pretty simple, but it's true. That's a good principle, right? So if you want this economy of God, this spiritual economy, to be rich, what do you got to do? Amen. You got to increase your spiritual wealth. Amen. Yes, you do. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That works in the natural, works in the spiritual. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. How about this great United States? Right? Was great. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. Oh, my. We're learning that lesson right now. We're learning that principle is at work against us right now, that our prosperity as a nation is decreasing because the prosperity of every individual is decreasing. Working right against us. Amen. So if you would, turn to Deuteronomy 15. I hope this is all right. Everybody, is the economy of God okay with everybody? Amen. I know it's simple, but that's where I'm at. Amen. Hopefully that's where you're at too. Amen. We got to build this economy. I think it's very fitting for this age because you know, we need God to move. We need His Spirit to move among us. We need to see signs and miracles and wonders. We need to see things happen just like in the book of Acts. Right? Just like when Jesus is walking on the earth. There's no reason why it can't happen like that. Amen. That economy of God was within Jesus Christ. It's within you. Amen. Are you any different? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, then it's within you. Amen. No different. Don't let Satan tell you that it's different. It's not any different. Not at all. Amen. Many things are happening we got to deal with in this age that maybe they didn't have to deal with back then, right? It's getting its far worse, wicked, deceptive age. But it doesn't matter. There's no difference. God is God of that age. He's God of this age, right? He's still God, the same as He was then. Amen. So Deuteronomy 15. Let's look at this. This is powerful. This tells exactly what's happening to our country right now. It says in Deuteronomy 15, verse 5, "Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord God blesseth thee, as He promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Do you see that? That says if you build your nation upon My laws and you listen to Me, then nations are going to borrow your money and you're going to rule over them. Isn't that exactly where we came from as a nation? Amen. It was because we were founded on spiritual principles. We were founded upon the spiritual economy of God. But so the exact opposite is true. If you don't follow My laws, if you don't listen to My statutes, if you don't follow My word, saith the Lord, then you will be a slave to other countries. You'll have to go borrow their own other money. Who's going to bail America out? Another country, right? That Vatican. It's its own little entity. It's so powerful. It has so much money. It's its own little entity, that Vatican. Right? We're going to be borrowed from them soon. Don't you worry. Amen. All right. Let's look at this. The economy of God here. The economy, the definition, is the wealth and resources of a country or a region, okay? It also says careful management of available resources. An economy, now just listen to this. Try to think spiritual thoughts. Everything as we go down through here, I know I'm going to be doing a lot of back and forth between natural and spiritual. I do that on purpose because I think there's an awesome type here. There's so many types in the natural. You can understand the spiritual economy so much better if you just look at the natural because it's all set up on that. God's rules and principles are everywhere. Amen. So just forgive me. I don't mean to be too natural, too carnal here, but just take it back to spiritual application, okay? Amen. So an economy consists of an economic system comprising of production, distribution, or trade. And we'll get into that. God definitely has goods and services. Amen. We transact and buy from Him. Amen. Amen. And the consumption of goods and services between two agents. The agents can be individuals, businesses, organizations, or governments. Transactions only occur when both parties agree to the value or price of the transacted good, commonly expressed in a certain currency. And we'll get into what the currencies are. Amen. Amen. A given economy is the result. Now listen to this. This is right out of the Wikipedia. A given economy is the result of a set of processes. Think spiritual here, that involves its culture, values, education, technological evolution, history, social organization, political structures and legal systems, as well as its geography, natural resource endowment, and ecology as main factors. These factors give context, content, and set the parameters and conditions in which the economy functions. Do you see this? I know this is kind of wordy, but do you see that? That's awesome. Some cultures create... Now look at this. Some cultures create more productive economies and function better than others, creating higher value. Do you want to create higher value? Do you want to increase? Do you want to maybe return 20-fold, 30-fold? Don't you want to return 100-fold? Don't you want to be part of something that's everlasting? Don't you want to build something that will last forever? That is ultimate wealth there. Anything that is eternal to me is of the highest value. It is of the highest wealth. We can go build a business on this earth, and we can make a lot of money at it and do all those great things, and hopefully the business will benefit society and you'll give back and you'll make the world a better place. Of course, that's great. But what about saving souls? What about laying treasures up in heaven? Amen. Some cultures have more value than others. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the beginning, how we like to see. Isn't it good to go back to the beginning? I like to do that. We can understand things so much better at times when we go back to the beginning. So let's do that with the economy of life and the economy of good and evil. Amen. Right there they are in the beginning. God set them right there and He said, do not partake of this economy of good and evil. You don't need it. You have the economy of life. Everything you ever need is right here. In this economy of life, right here. You don't need to go beyond this. But God had to set that there because He knew. He had a plan, right? He had attributes that had to be expressed. Right? Right. So He free moral agency was there from the beginning. So He had to set that little that economy of good and evil right over here off to the side. Don't touch that. You don't need that. But it's true then and it's true today. We don't need the economy of good and evil. All we really need is the economy of life. For if you have that, Christ, you don't need anything else. Amen. He'll sustain you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I like to look at this for a minute here, how that God come down and He was telling them these things and He was building His economy, telling Adam rather, building His economy. But can you imagine? Look at the beginning how there was such, it was all, I mean, perfect weather. Everything was great, right? I mean, just... Brother Branham said that everything was at His command. You know, He didn't like that tree there. Go ahead and move over there. Or whatever, the mountain or whatever He didn't like. He just spoke. He was a mini God, right? That was the privileges that came with full access to the economy of life. No mixing of the economies now that we have today. We have a lot of mixing going on today, and it's so mixed up and it's so deceptive that the elect would be deceived if it were possible. You're not going to be deceived. The elect is not. Amen. But you're still going to kind of get mixed up in those economies. Amen. Because they're just so intertwined. Remember God said, let them grow until the harvest, right? The wheat and the tares, and that the harvest will cut them all down and we'll separate them then, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He's going to separate them. He's separating them right now. Right now, this very moment, He's separating that economy of the world from the economy of life. He's trying to separate it right now, so please let Him do it. Amen. Just give yourself over to it and let Him do it. Amen. How many times do we sit there and we just don't want to get rid of something? You know, we have something intertwined there and we just don't want to, I can't get rid of that. I can't separate that. I know I'm guilty of it. Amen. We've got to give over to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, as I said in the beginning, everything you do in the natural affects the spiritual. Everything. It's so intertwined today, and it's so interrelated that everything affects everything. It's interdependence, right? How do you feel whenever you eat a bunch of junk food? Does it motivate you to read your Bible and pray? Right? Pound down those Snicker bars. Oh, I'm ready to go for serve God, right? Think about it. Think about what Satan is doing to us. This natural economy that he created. Think about it. It's not all bad, but it's not all good either. Amen. How about when you just got done watching some wicked thing before your eyes? How does that make you feel? Do you feel closer to God? No. Think about these things. I mean, apply this to your life. Think about this. This is very serious thing. This is serious. You want to grow the economy of God in your life? We've got to take heed to these things. We have to. This is very important. Oh, the food I eat, that ain't important. I can just pray over it and bless it and it'll be all right. No. By faith, you know, we're not dead by the things we eat right now. But it's slowly it's working on you. Slowly it's working on you, right? The lust of the food, that what it's doing to your body. And I'm not against, you know, I'm not here to preach some kind of strange doctrine on what foods that to eat. I mean, teach your own. Whatever, if you have full faith eating it, eat it, right? But what I'm saying is we've got to open our eyes. We've got to go for the great things. Remember, I preached on a sermon one time, the bad, the good, and the great. I don't know if I preached it here or not. But we've got to, the more we go towards the great things, the better you're going to be able to build the economy of God in your life. Right? Satan wants you to go with just the good things. He wants you to focus on that and then the bad things, of course. He wants to lure you into that. But as a believer, He just wants you to get off on the good things and forget about the great things. Get so consumed with the good things that you don't have time for the great things. That's what I'm talking about here. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians with me, would you please? Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, we'll start at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one received the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25 is where we're going. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Do you see that? So you're in this race as well. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If anything hinders you from running in this race, food, behaviors, your company, what you see, what you hear, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I'm talking about the whole thing. If anything hinders this race you're running, then don't do it. These people in this race are so serious, Paul says, about this race, that they're temperate in all things. All things. They don't close anything off their life. And if they can be that zealous about a natural race, what about you? We have the crown of glory we're running towards. The eternal crown that will never fade away. It will never pass away. How much more zealous should we be? Amen. We should not let any people that are athletics, be more zealous about their goal and winning the game than us winning our game. Than us winning our goal, right? No, sir. I know, Satan fights the believer harder than anything. Look at that. I mean, you look out there at those sports and you watch them. I mean, I don't really watch much of them, but here and there I see it, and they're just really zealous. I mean, they are all about it. That spirit of competition and all kinds of spirits are on those people, and they don't even know it. Some do know it, but a lot of them probably don't. They've given themselves over wholly to that thing, that purpose, and look what they can achieve. They achieve their goal. Amen. If that works with them, it'll work with you. Give yourself wholly to your spiritual goals. Amen. Don't let Satan tell you can't reach them. Amen. Listen to this. Your attitude, your emotions, your feelings, your thinking, your behaviors, your habits, the food you eat, the activities you do, the hobbies you execute, the words you speak out of your mouth, your occupation, the household you live in, the lifestyle you live, your desires, your influences, environment, perception, paradigm, all these things and more affect your position in God's great economy. One thing we often overlook is your perception, your attitude. I think we need to focus on that a little bit. I was driving my car down my driveway one time. It wouldn't have been too long ago. And I was driving my Honda Civic down there, and the thing's in pretty bad shape right now. So I was driving it down my driveway, and if anybody's ever been on my driveway, you know it's pretty rough. All right, so I'm driving this thing down my driveway, and I'm kind of running a little bit behind for work, so I'm wanting to get to work. You know, I don't want to be late because I hate being late for work. You know, I'm an example, and everybody sees that, and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going down my driveway, and the car is just hitting these bumps. You know, maybe I'm going a little faster than I should. That probably was. So I'm going down my driveway, and all of a sudden my car just slams on the ground. The driver's front side slams on the ground. I get out and look, and my wheel's 180 degrees sideways. So my ball joint broke is what happened. And you know what? I pulled that ball joint out, and this is the grace of God, and this is what I'm getting at. I can look at this thing, and I can say, oh, how could this happen? Oh, God, how could you allow this to happen? I'm going to be late for work, and I'm going to have to pay this couple $100 bill to fix my car, and I have to get it towed there and everything else. I could have said all those things, right? But no. You look at these types and apply this. You have this type of opportunity about every minute of your life. All the time. It's your perception. It's your attitude. It's how you look at things. And remember, either everything you do is what we're talking about is going to build you up in the economy of God or tear you down. Because remember, you can't serve God and mammon. If you go building yourself up in Satan's kingdom, it's going to tear you down in God's kingdom. It's a direct correlation. You can't get away from it. All right? So this is what I think we struggle with probably the most. I'd imagine I do. is your attitude. So anyways, I could have looked at this and said, oh, woe is me, or now, that would have probably torn me down. That would have probably torn my faith down. It probably would have torn me down, my position down in the economy of God. I'm casting doubt. I'm saying unbelief. The words that are coming out of my mouth, they're powerful, the words that come out of your mouth. But how we need to look at these situations like this. When I looked at that ball joint, first off, I said, oh, well, you know, these things happen. I'm so thankful that it broke down at the bottom of my driveway and not out when I was on the highway going 65 miles an hour or 55 or whatever more, right? That could have hurt me or killed me and somebody else or whatever more. Can you imagine that? So I'm really fortunate. And then I got to look at the ball joint after the mechanic got it out, and I got to looking at it, and he said, look at this. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing. I don't know the exact words there. But we were looking at this ball joint, and I was like, huh, that's funny. And you know what? We were looking at the thing, and that thing had been broke for probably months and months and months. It was just hanging on by a little piece of metal. You know, it was whatever, like maybe a 5/8 bolt, whatever more. And it was broken 3/4 of the way through at least. And you could tell that because it was all an old break. It was an old break. It was all dirty and rusty and everything else. So I've been driving around in that thing for who knows how long, and it just happened to break at the bottom of my driveway. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So it's all about your attitude. It's all about how you think about things. Remember that. When you go out these doors today, it's all about how you think about things. Everything that happens to you can be taken two ways, positive or negative. Build up or tear down. Everything. Amen? Now remember, another thing that we want to look at here is if it's so important to understand this economy. As we go down through these things, we got to understand the economy. Think about a businessman. Think about a successful businessman. The reason why he's so successful is because he understands how money works. He understands business. He understands how to apply it. He understands all the rules, all the laws, all that. He knows how to play the game. He's dedicated a lot of time to learn that now. It doesn't just happen when you're born. You don't just know these things, right? Same with you today. If you don't understand this kingdom, you're not going to participate, or at least not very well. Let's look about this for a minute. How many of us see signs and miracles and wonders all the time? I don't either. That means we have more room to participate. Our participation needs to increase. Amen? It does. We're growing. I'm not putting anybody down now. This is not a negative thing. What I'm saying is, praise the Lord, we have so much more room to go. Isn't that great? We're not arrived. We're not at the end already. We're not, you know, there's so much more we can gain. In other words, let me say it like this. It only gets better from here. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Yes, sir. It only gets better from here. So it's all about your attitude. It's not, oh, woe is me. Look how far I have to go. But it only gets better. God is so sweet, isn't He? Isn't He so great? Don't you enjoy His presence? Don't you love Him? Amen. I sure hope you do. And that's great because He can only get better. Amen. Yes, sir. Your participation can only increase if you'll let it. It's your choice. You can have your participation increase or decrease. Amen. Think about a sports game, as we talked about in the beginning. Those people know those rules to those games so well. Think about all your all-star athletes. Think about how well they know the game. Think about, I don't know, one time somebody told me something about Tiger Woods, how, you know, some phenomenal figure about how many hours he practices every day. I mean, it was phenomenal. It's almost like, you know, 3/4 of his life is practicing nothing but golf. So he practices, he studies, he learns, he grows, he looks at all the courses, he understands all the rules of the game. I don't understand half the rules of the game of golf. There's so many rules. But see, think about how good he is. Maybe there's somebody better by now. I don't know. But, you know, he's very good from what I remember because he knows the game. He can participate very well. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, let's increase our participation. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Let's increase it. Amen. Raise your hand. Do you want to increase your participation?
Amen.
Participate in this sermon right now by raising your hand, right? Amen. Yes, sir. I do too. Amen. Okay, so Felix one time inquired of Paul and said, I want to hear what this man's saying. Because he didn't understand it. Felix did not understand the economy that Paul was preaching. So he wanted to hear it more perfectly. It says in Acts 24, verse 24, if you want to look there. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, or the economy of Christ. Amen. This great economy. He didn't know what it was all about. You know, these people are looking at Paul just like the people are looking at you, which, in other words, I hope they are. If they're not, we just need to increase our participation so we'll get a little more eyes looking at us.
Right?
Right? Paul, his participation was pretty great, wasn't it?
Amen.
Wouldn't you say that Paul participated pretty well in this economy?
Amen.
Yes, he did. And there's no reason why you can't have the same participation. There's no reason. You know, right now, Satan, no doubt, Satan is the one that's lying to you, trying to say that you can't do that. Your place is not like Paul. You didn't have his gifts. Don't you have the Holy Spirit? I keep going back to the Holy Spirit because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
That same Holy Spirit that was in Paul is in you.
Amen.
It didn't change. It didn't diminish. God doesn't decrease. If anything, He increases by revealing more of Himself. Amen.
Amen.
Aren't we in the eagle age? Aren't we in the day of revelation? More than any other age. Amen. So Felix, he wanted to understand what it was all about, you know, just watching Paul's life. He wanted to ask him about his participation. Now, what is this thing you're participating in? This is insane. I've never seen anything like this before. Yeah. In Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 4, wherein think it strange that ye not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So people will not like your participation. They will not like what you are doing in the economy of God. They will wonder, why he's crazy? Why is he doing that? Right? And as your participation increases, they ought to say more of those things about you. There's not going to be, this shouldn't be a newsflash, but there's not going to be some great moving of the truth in this hour as far as the whole world coming under the true gospel, the message of the hour. That's not going to happen. So what that means is they're going to get farther and farther away from it, right? Just like in the days of Noah when only 8 souls were saved. I don't know what the population was of that day, but it was probably pretty great. They probably multiplied exceedingly great. Right? Just like today. You know the population is climbing like it never has been. It's just phenomenal how the population of the world is climbing. You know, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The population is great, and the population is getting even farther away from God, and the separation is becoming even greater. Let me say it like this. The rich are becoming fewer and farther in between. The spiritually rich is what I'm talking about. Isn't that what's happening naturally? Aren't a smaller and smaller and smaller group of people of the world holding the wealth of the world? It's happening. I mean, there's so many. God is trying to wake us up, say, look at this natural things. It's happening in the spiritual.
Amen.
Remember, it happens in the spiritual first. God always, He's the leader, right? Does Satan lead or does God lead? I think God leads, right? We know God leads. Satan is not going to come out with some new thing. He's always going to copy, right? That's right. So God is the one. The spiritual started to separate, and then Satan wanted to copy it, so he comes out here and separates the natural, right? Well, yeah. So we got to watch these things. Watch what's going on around us. It's right there in front of us. Amen? Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, if you would, please, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that was in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Got to have spiritual eyes to see this kingdom. You've got to. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I just read that, didn't I? No, I didn't. That's funny. 2:12. Let's go to the next scripture. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. What that says to me is it says you have to receive the Holy Spirit of God to see the economy of God and freely see what is available to you. Amen. Is that not right? Amen. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. That ought to be everybody. Everybody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit right now, I talk to my children about this. Your main goal right now, children, is to receive the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's your main goal. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. All these other things are just good. Yes, I want you to get an education. Yes, I want you to learn and grow naturally. Yes, I want you to, you know, to help people and serve others and do these great things. Yes, I want you to do these things. I want you to be help your household and do chores and all these great things. But our center focus is the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, or should be as much as possible, everything we do in the natural should focus around getting those children to the Holy Spirit. It should be. And anybody else, I mean, you may be 40 or 50 years old and not have the Holy Spirit. There's no shame in that, because if you don't admit it, you're never going to get it. That's right. You've got to admit it. Be honest with ourselves. Do we really have it? Do we really have Him dwelling in our very soul? Married to our soul. Do we really have it? Think about it. This is not about playing church. Do you have it? Because it's life and death. Is He working in your life? Are you increasing in His spiritual economy? Are you increasing? There's no such thing as God staying even. He doesn't just stay with the status quo. He doesn't. His bank account does not stay at a certain fixed figure. So if that's where you're at, question if you have the Holy Spirit. This is maybe a little hard, but it's true. All right? We've got to be honest with ourselves. And I'm pressing for God moving my life. I want to increase. Amen? I want to see you move in my life. Amen. Yes, sir. Satan would love nothing more than this cold age to be complacent and go with the status quo. Amen. Oh, you're okay, Brother Simon. Don't worry about growing spiritually. You've got it. Come on. If you got it, you'd be growing, right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm nothing against you, brother. I'm just using you as an example. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So, let's take heed to these things. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I hope this is all right here.
Amen.
How about Nicodemus when he come to Jesus there in St. John 3, if you're writing these down, 1 through 21 is where it's at. He says, how can a man enter into the kingdom? How can, you know, he's questioning about this kingdom, this economy of God here. And we know what Jesus said in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus, can you look at his response here, and you can tell that he is definitely in the natural. He's all the way in the natural. He's like, wow, what are you talking about? How am I going to be born again? Can I enter into the womb? I mean, look at this guy. Look at his logic that's going on. It's not even logical. It's not even logical. He's so far off, he's not even asking the right questions. You know, your maturity a lot is shown a lot by the questions you ask. Or the questions you ask shows your maturity. So we can tell right now that he wasn't very mature at all in the spiritual kingdom. Because Jesus even pointed out, what, you're a master of Israel and you don't even know these things? You don't even know, you have no clue? This is the door. I'm talking about the door. The door is the Holy Spirit. That's just the door. That's just the beginning. That's just when you take your first step into the economy of God. It's not like you've been there for years. You just start when you receive the Holy Ghost. He doesn't even know about the ABCs of it.
Right.
Amen. And that's what I mean. Be honest with ourselves here. We have to make sure that we know what we don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelations 3:17 or verse 18, rather. Revelations 3:18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see.
Amen.
Amen. Break out the eye salve. Amen. Yeah. And for everybody, we all have faults and things we got to see. Amen. No matter how old and mature you are, you still got something you got to work out. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't see it, it'll never be worked out. That's the first step of solving any problem, is to recognize you have a problem. It's true. Amen. All right. Now we go to Balaam. Balaam is a great example, isn't he? Don't we use Balaam for a lot of things? I think we do. We really do. And unfortunately, he never gets used for anything good. Well, I guess that'd be fortunately, because he didn't do anything good. Amen? Isn't that something? If somebody never does anything good, you can't say anything good about them. Isn't that something? Amen. That's just exactly how God's economy works. Amen. You want to do something great in this economy? You got to do something. You got to do something great, right? You want to get a great output? You got to put a great input in. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Can't get around it. So we have Balaam. Can you imagine Balaam? We all know this story, how he talked to God, lip to ear, right? He just was right there talking to God. You know, he had experiences with God that we would love to have, you know, that we could just dream of, you know, like that, if I could say it like that. And he, you know, he had no idea. He was so far blown away in the natural economy that he still had the lustly desires to be rich and be popular and all these things, right? Now, let me say it like this. If God moved in your life like that, and you wouldn't you want and desire the spiritual things? You would want more of it, right? If I gave you $1 million, you'd probably want more. You'd probably go spend it and start living that lifestyle and loving it, and you'd be out of money, and you'd want more, right? You'd hunger and thirst for more because you wouldn't want to give up that lifestyle, right? The things you bought with that, you would not want to give up. You would enjoy those pleasures. You would love them. Now, the true believer, I'm not talking, you know, you see what I'm saying here. All right? So, therefore, Balaam, think about all these things that he experienced, right? But he didn't thirst and hunger after them. Why? Because he didn't have the seed of God in his life. He couldn't. There was nothing there to quicken. Right? So, therefore, he didn't even know what he was embarking on. He didn't even know what he was seeing. He didn't even know the economy of God that he was kind of looking at. I'll say it like that because he never entered into it. Isn't that an example? That's a powerful example to me because that's the best example I can think of right now where a man is just, you know, totally seeing the economy of God and all its power and everything and totally flat out rejected. Didn't even try to get in it. Not at all. Didn't even try. The whole time his heart was filthy. The whole time. It's not like he ever went over here and had a real battle. Oh, God, take this away from me. I don't want this desire. He never said that. He was trying to play God, right? Keep going back and forth to him. All right. So what is the economy of God? Let's look at this a little bit. How we have in Ephesians 3, if you would turn there, Ephesians 3, verse 8. Amen. I'll try to pick up the pace a little bit if that's okay here. I've got a lot to go through. Amen. Okay, so we have Ephesians 3, 8. Says here, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at that. They're unsearchable. These riches are, you can't find them all. There's no way you'll ever find them all. They're completely unsearchable. Amen? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? That's exactly what I'm talking about, the Holy Ghost. This great economy of God is Christ in you. Him living His life out through you. Amen? Remember we talked about Psalms 127:1? He needs to be the builder, not you. That's why it's so important to receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess who's going to be doing all the building? You. He's not partnered with you yet. He can't do any building, right? So partner up with Him. Amen? Yes, sir. All right. 1957 India trip. I want to read this here. All right. The little girl's gift that's in your servant here, brother, it's just like a drop out of the ocean. It's a measure. But remember, the same chemicals that's in the entire ocean and that is in that spoon, that little drop. I know you've all heard this before. But it's not much of it, see? It's not as much of it, see? And so our ministries are the chemicals that is made up in the great economy of God. And God can use those chemicals any way He wants to. It's just not as much of it. But altogether, it's more of it than was in one. See, the fullness of God is in His church. Do you see that? This prosperity of a nation is only going to be as prosperous as its individual people are prosperous. I mean, don't we always say, the more licks of fire there's in a room, the more, you know, the more God's moving and everything like that? Well, think about it. It's the same thing here. So your ministries make up the economy of God. Every single person in here has a ministry.
Right.
You do.
Thank you, Lord.
It's Satan that's just telling you all you got to do is come to church and listen to the preacher, and that's all you got to do. He's the one that has a ministry. That's all you got to do, right? Wrong. That's a lie of the devil. He's one man. You're many. Right? Praise the Lord. So put your ministries together and get them to work to building the economy of God. Amen. All right. Switching directions here a little bit. Help us, Lord, here switch. So we have Satan. He likes to come in 2 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn there. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What? Yeah. He can transform himself into an angel of light. That Greek word of light means fire, light. That's what it means. Oh my. He's a copier, isn't he? Who do we know is the original source of light and fire? Our God is the consuming fire, right?
Amen.
Hebrews 12. So, he's just a copier. But nonetheless, he's trying to make this so effective that people... Look at what light is. Let me look at this. Light is a natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. A source of illumination. What? Satan can illuminate? Yes, he can. What? Satan can stimulate your sight? Yes, he can. He can make things visible? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And you're deceived if you think he can't. That's what he's trying to tell you. You know, Satan tries to tell you that he can't do it because he doesn't want to be exposed. So be very careful in these economies. They're mixed. Make sure you discern the difference between Satan's light and God's light. Because as we'll see, Satan's a false economy. His economy is false, right? It's a false light shining upon a false economy. It is. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Did I already read this? I don't know if I did or not, but let me read it again. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan wants his light to be brighter than Christ's light in your life. Now, it's not brighter now, but you can make it brighter. You can make Satan's light brighter than God's light. You certainly can. It's all about what economy you participate more in. It's all about what economy you give more of your time to, more of your resources to, right? Even more of your money to, right? Amen. Yes, sir. It's true. 1957, in a sermon called Life, it says, you see, if Satan has a kingdom, he's got to have a false economy. He's got to have something that can be presented to them to make them think they are living. But it's absolutely on the vice versa side. It's death in the form of life. Yeah, be careful. We get tripped up in this all so often. We do. What, the believer? Yeah, you do. You get tripped up. Why do you? If we weren't tripped up in Satan's little traps in his economy, then God would be all over the place, moving everywhere all the time. I mean, it's unbelief that hinders God, right? Hinders him moving in our lives. Unbelief. Faith causes him to move. There's only two things, right? In your soul, it's either faith or unbelief. We know that, right? So therefore, if God's not moving, we know faith takes God to move. You know, you give God faith, as we'll learn about that a little bit in the next sermon here. You give him faith, he'll move. I mean, that moves God. That stimulates God. Without faith, no man can please God, right? So if God's not doing the things that his word says he could and should be doing, then the only other thing it could be is unbelief that's hindering him. Right? It's that simple. It's that simple. Amen. So, how's Satan doing this? How's he, his false economy? Of course, we know that he's, and look at the natural. Look what's happening in the natural. Everything is becoming unified. The whole world is becoming a world economy. The whole world is becoming a world religion. You know, let's all come together. World peace, all these, peace when there is no peace. Right? I mean, look at what's happening in the natural. Satan is trying to copy. You know why? Because God's gathering a bride. God's gathering the people of his economy, albeit very small, but he's still gathering them. Right?
Amen.
So Satan wants to do the same thing. He wants to gather everybody together on his side. Right? But a minority is a majority with God. I'm glad for that. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm glad for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. I like to call Satan's economy another name as well. I like to say and call it the Laodicean economy. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, it says here in Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest now not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Don't you know it? Don't you see it? We got to see these things. As Paul said, don't be ignorant of his devices. He wants you to be all tripped up involved in his economy. He does. So let's not be ignorant. We don't want to be ignorant. So we're exposing Satan right now, right? As you live your life, it's an everyday occurrence. It's a lifestyle. It's a journey. It's not an arrival. It's not like an end point, period, you're done, God's done. It's every day I live this. Every day I look for opportunities to expose Satan. Right? Oh, there I see him working through my children, getting me all angry and upset and yelling and whatever more. Right? Oh, there I see him with my coworker right there just messing up my machine, so I'll make bad parts and I'll get angry about it. Amen. Right? I mean, oh, there he is right there in my wood burner breaking down, making me all late for whatever more. Right? Late to get to bed or whatever, you know, whatever you were, brother. If you were up at 2 in the morning, you were definitely late to get into bed, at least in my standards. So, you know, this is all what Satan's trying to do. So don't give in to it, right? So let's look at this. Satan's false economy is vain, right? We know Satan's economy is vain. It's a vain economy. Look at this. Vain, by definition, is producing no results, useless, having no meaning or likelihood for fulfillment. Isn't that perfect? I mean, that describes his economy to the T. It doesn't describe it any better than that. I don't think there's a better word to describe Satan's economy. It will do absolutely nothing for you. Amen. Does nothing. Amen. The Laodicean economy. That's all it is. Amen. Yes, sir. All right. You know what I want to be? I want to be like a river. I hope everybody wants to be like a river. You don't want to be like a dead cesspool, do you? Like a, you know, it's a stagnant pool of water, do you, where it has no outlets? All inlet but no outlet, right? If you have all an inlet but no outlet, you're dead. And that's exactly what it says here. The Scripture says that how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? Why is that? Well, as we'll see here, it's because this man, rich people now, let me use a little logic here. If you're rich, what is that? If you're rich in the natural, Brother Simon, what does that mean you have a lot of? Money. Exactly. If you have a lot of money, does that mean you're giving much of it out? No. So what that means is you have all inlets but no outlets, right? So that means you're dead. Now, God does not have any trouble, at least as far as I can see, correct me if I'm wrong after service, God has no trouble with someone having a lot of money flow through them. If your inlet, rather let me say it this way, if your outlet is just about as big as your inlet, that's what God likes, right? It needs to be almost. It needs to be exactly the same or almost the same, right? You can't get this big pool of money because it'll make you dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? It's true. So flow through me. I want to be a river. A river is a large quantity of flowing substance. Come on. Don't we want to be like a river? The Holy Spirit flow through me. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. My, don't let Satan tell you can't have resources flow through you. You'll be dead. That's not true. It's only true if your outlet is not working really well. It's all stopped up, right? Or you only got the faucet maybe half on or a quarter of the way on, right? Let it flow through you. Amen. Yes, sir. In Matthew 10, verse 8, it says, freely ye have received, freely give. That's what Jesus says. Make sure your inlet is as big as your outlet, right? Or vice versa, right? Outlet as big as the inlet. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a body of water called the Dead Sea that It says here animals cannot flourish in it because the salinity is so harsh that it makes the environment so hard for life to flourish in. Because it's a stagnant pool. It has no outlets. It has zero outlets. None. So everything's flowing into it, the salt water and everything else, and it's the saltiest body of water like that, I believe, like inland, other than an ocean, right? It says right here, I think it said it here that I didn't put it down here, but it says something like it was 9.6 times more salty than the ocean.
Wow.
Something like that. Forgive me if I'm off a little bit, but it's more salty than the ocean, okay? So life can't flourish in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, I better move along here a little bit. Amen. Can I have about 15 more minutes? Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay. All right. He that serves God for money will serve the devil for better wages. Isn't that good? He that serves God for money will serve the devil for better wages. Because the devil can pay you better money than God can. He can. He certainly can. It's proof. Look at the natural. Look at all the millionaires, all the billionaires, whatever. Million isn't even a lot of money anymore. Billionaires, let's say it that way, right? Look at all of them. Do they truly serve God? I mean, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I'm just trying to look at their fruits, right? By their fruits you shall know them. No. How hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Okay? So let's not focus. That's not our sole focus. Money is not our main focus, right? It's the resources of God's financial, or rather, God's economy, rather. It's those resources we're after, right? It's the products and services, as we'll talk a lot more about later, that we're after. We're after those things. Satan is the God of mixing, isn't he? Doesn't he want to mix everything? And God is the God of segregation. We know that. So when Jesus went into the temple, what did he see? This is a good example of segregation. What did he see in the temple? Buying and selling. So the mixing of the natural financial economy in with the spiritual economy, right? And Jesus, as soon as he went in there, he was so angry that Jesus did it. He plaited these cords and started whipping them out of there. Amen. He got so angry that he wanted to kick them out of there. Amen. You should do the same thing now. When you see too much natural going on in here, kick it out. I mean, it's the same thing. We don't want them to mix for whatever they mix. What was happening here? Whenever they were mixing this stuff here in the temple was supposed to be spiritual grounds, the spiritual economy of God was supposed to be what's happening in there. Spiritual transactions were supposed to be going on. What happened when Satan came in there and mixed it? All those spiritual things began to stop. Do you think these people were right with God? Do you think that God was really moving among them? Or do you think it was just a dead religion? Jesus said it was a dead religion. That's what he told all these hypocrites. The Pharisees, right? He told them straight up, your religion is dead. You're living so far in this natural economy, and even spiritual economy of Satan, you're dead. So don't ever let me hear you say, or your pastor let you hear you say, rather, that if I only had enough money, I would do such and such. If it's your purpose, do it. If it's your purpose, do it. God will provide a way. Won't he? How many times have I said that? Oh, I'm going to work and work, and I'm going to build these riches so I can go and, you know, be a, you know, some kind of a, you know, traveling preacher or something or whatever more. Think about that for a minute. Think about how contrary that is. You're basically saying, well, I don't have enough faith, so I'm going to, you know, go on my own accord and try to build it myself. That's what you're saying. I've caught myself doing it, right? So we got to get away from that. Don't ever say that if I only had enough money. Amen? Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Amen. It's true. The economy of God, we're trying to wind it down here, the economy of God expresses His attributes, as we said in the beginning. God had to put that economy of good and evil there in the beginning. From the very beginning, He had to put it there because He had attributes that had to be expressed. He had to have it's like this. Imagine God. I mean, and I can't hardly put it in words, but this is just something our minds can understand. Let's say at work, you know, I have these big tanks of liquid oxygen, and maybe we have Argo mix for our weld gas, and these things are pressurized. They're high-pressure tanks. We have liquid, which isn't so pressurized. It has a fair amount of pressure. You don't want one of those things to get punctured or something like that. But we also have what they call high-pressure bottles, which have thousands of pounds of pressure.
Right.
And I've heard stories, I've never seen it, but I've heard stories where, you know, if people don't, you know, they got caps on these bottles and you got to secure them to the walls. You got to do all those things for safety reasons. Because if one of these bottles tipped over and knocked the top off, knocked the valve off, that thing would shoot like a rocket all around a room, destroying whatever it hit. And if a person was in the way, done killing. Okay? So, that's exactly how God was, I believe. God has such a desire to express what was within inside of Him. If He didn't have an outlet, it would have burst. Everything would have been done, right? So God has all these great attributes, healer and savior and father and your friend and your lover and a man of war, right? Doesn't He want to express Himself in all these ways? A protector, right? So He created this great economy which His attributes could be expressed within. He did. He absolutely did. So if He didn't have that, so we're going to get there at the end and we're going to look at this thing and we're going to say, oh God, Your plan was so perfect. I didn't fully understand it. I didn't know why you allowed all these things to happen and you put the free moral agency there and all these things. But we're going to get over and say, oh God, it was so perfect. It was just, I mean, we can't even fathom it right now, but that's what probably we're going to say, right? Because He is perfect, right? We're not going to get there and say, oh God, you should have done this different and that different. Oh, in my life there, You shouldn't have taken that away from me. Oh my. Who are we to say to the One who formed us, why did You make me thus? He made you thus so you could overcome. Amen. So you could prevail. Amen. I mean, we may be asking ourselves that. Why do I have this infirmity? Or why can I not speak very well? Or I never win any souls? Or whatever more you want to say. Well, you got to be careful what you say, first off. And second off, God made you that way so you can overcome it. Because He knew exactly what you have need of. Before the foundations of the world, He knew it. Amen. So His attributes came out. If they didn't come out, you know, remember the scripture says, if we don't praise God, or I'm just paraphrasing, the rocks will cry out, right? Yeah. So it's got to happen, right? So if it's going to happen, why don't we be part of it? Amen? Why don't we be part of it? I mean, it's your decision right now. If you're teetering or you want to make more progress right now, make the decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, if I go out and I want to buy a car, okay, I'm shopping around for a car, and I'm looking for cars. You know how we do. We want to get the best deal. We want to get exactly what we want because we're going to be spending a lot of money. No doubt some of us may be even taking out a loan for it. We've got to make payments or whatever more, right? So, we want to get what we want, right? Okay. My wife wants a new car, so I may be shopping sometime soon. I don't know. Both my cars are kind of failing on me. But anyways, so we're looking for this car. We're searching. We go in the Kelley Blue Book. We make sure we understand what the value of all these cars are. Oh, it's got this many miles, and it's this year, and it's got these options, and it should be this much. It should be worth this much right here, you know, whatever, $13,000, $10,000, whatever you want to say, right? We're very diligent about it. As a buyer, you want to make sure that what you buy is worth what you're paying. You don't want to pay too much for that. It'd be great to pay less for it, though, you know. You'd like that, but that's not how it's going to work because the person that's selling it is not going to sell it for anything less than what it's worth. Okay, natural. We got this in the natural. This is how the natural economy works, right? Let's look at the spiritual. Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Isn't that what that says? His own blood? So God purchased you with His own blood. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns you.
Right.
If you want Him to, He'll own you. Okay? Now, we've already established that how much is God's blood worth? Can I pay $10,000 for it? Can I pay $1 million for it? Can I pay $10 million? Can I pay $1 billion? It's infinite value. You can't put a value on God's blood. Oh, as Brother Branham said, if I had one drop of that blood that fell on Calvary, right? Oh, I mean, just one grain of mustard seed, one grain of faith the size of a mustard seed, look what it can do. Okay? So, we understand that the buyer will only buy something and give only what its value is. The seller is only going to give it for its value, right? God's blood is priceless, and He bought you, so how much are you worth? How much are you worth? It's no different. If that's how the natural works, that's how the spiritual is going to work. You are priceless. Amen. So don't let Satan tell you that you're not worth anything. Don't let him ever put you down, because you are priceless. God bought you with his own blood, which is priceless. Amen. So next time he tries to put something in your face, throw that back at him. Amen. Yes, sir. Throw that right back at him. He doesn't want to hear that. He didn't want you to know that either if he didn't know it. Amen. He doesn't. Amen. All right. Oh, my. Okay, so we have here that you're sleeping in your house one night, and your children are all asleep, your wife's all asleep, everybody's all calm and cozy and happy, sleeping in a deep sleep. It's in the middle of the night, about 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever more, and all of a sudden you hear this big crash. Bang, crash. Okay? Immediately you sit up in your bed. What was that? What was that? You hear another crash, bang. You hear all this banging. You get up. You get up and you look around and you go out to the kitchen. And lo and behold, there's a couple robbers right there. Broken into your house. No doubt they're probably crazy. They're probably wanting money for their next fix. Out of their minds. What are you going to do? As a father of the house, what are you going to do? Are you going to run from them while they ravish your children and your wife? Are you going to go over here and pray about what you're going to do? No! You're probably going to immediately, automatically, without thinking, protect your family with whatever that would mean. Whatever that would mean. I'm not going to get into that part, but whatever that would mean. It's automatic. Mothers, as your children, what would you do with them? You would automatically protect them. Greater love hath no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. No question about your family. No question. Right? Why are we built that way? Because our father's built that way.
Amen.
We inherited that from our father. Isn't he a protector? Isn't he a man of war? Isn't he always constantly protecting his children? How about when the king of Assyria came, and remember king of Assyria, Sennacherib, and remember the Rabshakeh came and they were taunting Israel. They were going to invade Israel. And the Rabshakeh came in, which is his right-hand man, the king of Assyria's right-hand man, came in and said, hey, join us, we'll give you chariots. If you can fill them, we'll give them to you, right? He's all taunting them like they're this low, whatever more. And then even going to say, oh, the other gods of the other lands couldn't deliver them. What makes you think your God can deliver you?
Amen.
Right? That's what Satan does, trying to come in there and battle in your mind. Amen. Hezekiah, after hearing this thing, he went out there and prayed to God, right? He prayed to God. He was sincere. He got down on his knees. He wasn't playing around. Do you think he didn't go in the natural economy and go, let me round up all my soldiers and let me get everybody all ready and let me go over here and try to battle these guys in the natural, right? I mean, that's okay to do that. I know they do that. But what I'm saying is spiritually it ought to be first. The spiritual kingdom ought to be first. So he went down there to the spiritual economy first. He went to praying to God. And what did God do? It said that night, God went in that whole camp of Assyrians and destroyed 185,000 people. It said, the Bible said they woke up in the morning and they saw all these dead corpses everywhere. What do you think they did? They got out of there. They left right quick. That's what it says in 2 Kings 19. Amen. We have this. Oh my, I have so much to go through here. Amen. So we have. Let me skip that there. We have here that we know that we are workers in this economy of God, right?
Amen.
You know, Brother Simon, my brother's here. The occupation you have right now, you know, your job, you go there and make, you know, money for your family, you provide. That's not your primary occupation. I'm sorry, it's not. And we run into trouble when we try to make that our primary occupation. We do. We run into a lot of trouble with that. So we are workers. We are not here to play. This is not about play. This is about workers. We are here to work in God's field and get the harvest for Him, right? That's what it's about. It's okay to have a little fun here and there, right? It's okay to, you know, loosen up and things like that. But we are here to work. That is our purpose. So a worker is a person or animal that works in particular, an employee. Okay? Who's your boss? Amen.
Amen.
Who's your employer? Amen. Amen. Some people have different employers now. There's two different employers. Yeah. You're going to be a slave to one or the other. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Look at this. Work is described this way. An activity, now look at this, involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. Apply this spiritually. We're working to achieve results. Amen? We want to achieve those great results for God. I love this definition. This is great. Also, it says, for the definition of work, that it is the exertion of force overcoming resistance. Look at this. Or producing a molecular change. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Aren't you going to change your bodies? Isn't your molecules going to change? Amen. That's what you're working towards. Amen. That's one of the goals. Amen. And if you are fortunate enough to make the rapture, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your molecules will change right there. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. So, I like that definition, the exertion of a force to overcome resistance. My, that's the Christian life. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's why I say you're a worker. Amen. So, don't complain about it. Quit being all sad about it and upset and woe is me. And get down to business and work. Amen. Work. Satan doesn't want you to work because he knows what you're capable of doing. He knows what your potential is. Why do you think? That's why he wants you. As I believe I said last time I was here, $100, $10 on the ground. Which one are you going to pick up? Of course Satan wants the $100. He's going to bypass that $10 and go right to the $100. He wants to sift you as wheat. Amen. He does. So don't let him. Keep working. He does. Because the moment you stop working, the easier target you are to sift as wheat. Right? Look at this. Our employer. Look what our employer said. In St. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. That's our employer. That's what he said. And the definition of overcome is, now line yourself up with this definition, because if you're an overcomer, this is, you'll line up with this definition. The definition of overcome is to defeat, beat, conquer, trounce, thrash, rout, vanquish, overwhelm, overpower, get the better of, triumph over, prevail over, win over, against, outdo, outclass, worst, or crush.
Amen.
Crush. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. That's what you're called to do, saints. You're called to meet that definition. To the T. Amen. Don't give in. Keep working until you... It's going to be a journey. You're not going to arrive. So keep working so you can always constantly attain to that definition. If you see yourself falling short somewhere, don't give up. Work harder. Amen. I like that saying too. Don't work harder all the time. Work smarter. Amen. Sometimes we beat our head against the wall doing the same thing over and over again, trying to achieve different results. That's the definition of insanity. Don't do that. Amen. Check up. Evaluate yourself. Prove the faith that's in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh my. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." So what are we saying here? What we're saying is, this is the same commission that God gave Adam in the very beginning, told him to keep the garden. Dress it and keep it. Take care of it. Know, right here, know the state of your flocks. Look well to your herds. Okay, so in this day when this word was written down, you know what? Having a lot of flocks and a big herd meant you were pretty wealthy. Right? So, in other words, you are responsible, no matter what, to keep this economy. No matter what, there's no excuses. There's no excuses at all. And we're not going to get to that end of that day there and get to the river there where we're about ready to cross over, and he's going to say, "Well, you can't cross over because of this, that, and the other." I said, "Well, God, I couldn't because of this, that, and the other." There's going to be no excuses. It's either going to be you did or you didn't. Did you receive the Holy Spirit or did you not? There's no in between. He doesn't come and go. Like some people believe you can lose the Holy Spirit once you receive it. No. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. Right? I mean, that's Bible facts. You're sealed on the day of your redemption. So that means there's no in between. There's no excuses. It's either you did or you didn't. Period. That's it. So we're charged to take care of this economy. Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple more here. We'll be done. Now I want to encourage you. I hope this was all encouraging. I hope it was, because if it isn't, remember, your attitude is not right. If this was not encouraging, then your attitude, your perception is not right. Get it switched over to the other side. Okay? But of course, if I sin against anybody in any way, please let me know after service. I don't ever want to do that. I'm just trying to preach what's on my heart, what God laid there for me. And I couldn't get away from this stuff. Okay? So, remember in 1 Peter 1:6, turn there if we would, or look up here at the board. This is very important. This is very encouraging. Why does this happen to me? Why? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So greatly rejoice when you're in heavy temptations there. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what that says? That says the economy of God, your faith, which we'll get into is the currency of the economy of God, increases as you go through trials. So count it an honor and a privilege that God is allowing you to be tried, dear Job, as you are. Amen? God loved Job. Don't you believe that? God loved his son Job so much that he allowed him to be tried in every way possible that you could be tried in that day. And he was still found faithful. Amen. So count it an honor and a privilege when God tries you. I had a brother come to me the other day and said, he was just saying how he was going through such things, and I just kind of remarked to him. I said, hey, you know, you're precious in the sight of God. You look how valuable you are, because the trials of your faith are more precious than gold. So God really loves you. The more trials he gives you, that's just how he shows you love. Amen? It's true. It is. Amen. I know we don't like that in the flesh, but it's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we close here, you can stand with me. Stretch a little bit there. So, think about this as we close. Think about these things. And Lord willing, I do would like to continue on this thought on the next sermon here tonight. So we have some good stuff to get into. Good stuff. Amen. And so, think about how you're going to invest in this great economy. Think about it. It ought to be a daily investment, a daily partaking, a daily giving, right? A daily taking. That's what it is, a give and take. No, the economies have to have a give and take. Where you buy something and you receive something in return, right? You give and you take, right? So think about how you're going to invest, because essentially that's what it is. It's a giving and a taking in the long term. We're so wrapped up in the short term. We've got to be careful, and that's of Satan's trap right there. He wants us to live to, even like this, paycheck to paycheck. He wants you to live in the natural that way. He wants you to live in the spiritual that way. Right? From service to service, barely getting by. I barely made it here. Oh, I'm so, Brother Cam, you better hurry up and preach. I'm going to die. Right? Because I'm so low. My tank is so low. It shouldn't be that way, friends. That's why we need to invest. That's why I was talking about that compound effect at the beginning. Invest a half hour in your spiritual life every day. And it'll equal whatever, 900 some hours in 5 years. I mean, it's something. It's really something. So even God is likened unto this. And I'm so glad that he is this way. In the parable of the talents, God, the master comes to his servants, and he tells his servants to invest. He gives them talents. He gives them the resources. It's not even their own. He gives them everything they need. All they have to do is plant it in the ground. Just a little bit of work. Plant it in the ground, and it will grow, and it will return value unto their master. And guess what? If you return value unto your master, then you will have value returned unto you. Aren't you in his household? Doesn't his whole household feel the wealth, or feel the poorness of it? Well, either way it is. right? Doesn't your whole body? Let me smash your finger and let me see if your whole body feels good or not. I mean, little member, you smash it, the whole body is upset. It's the same thing. So if that works natural that way, it's the same thing here. If you bring an investment back for your Lord out of his own money, then you'll reap the benefits. So think about these things. I'll give you a homework assignment as you go out. You know, think about, write down three ways you're going to invest in your spiritual economy. Three ways. Just three ways. And then put it to practice. Okay? Praise the Lord. Let me share this with you as we close here. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it many days, after many days. So whenever they planted rice over in the rice paddies, you know, it takes months and months and months for rice to grow. So you had to have patience. So they cast that bread on the waters. And it took a long time to grow, but oh, the harvest when it did grow. When it was finally time for a reaping season, oh, the harvest. Rice is abundant now. That's one of the reasons why it's so abundant over in the East. You know, they grow a lot of it. They have opportunity to do it, and it really, really multiplies. So let your investments be that way. Let them multiply so you can be spiritually rich.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads here. We'll pray together, and then I'll ask Brother Cam to come after the prayer here. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this time of your word coming forth, Father. We thank you, Lord. I know that I am blessed greatly by this word, Father, that you've shown me. Lord, I know that I have many areas I need to improve upon, but that's what it's all about, Lord, these trials that test our faith. Lord God, these things, Father, that really build us up, Lord God, that's what they do, Lord. So help us take the right mindset towards all these things, Father. And I trust, Lord God, and I pray that there was blessings bestowed, Father. Blessings dropped from heaven, Lord, upon everyone here, Lord. I know I receive, Lord God. I say right now, the words out of my mouth, I receive, Lord God. Lord, however simple, Lord, you want to feed me, Lord. However, whatever type of food, Lord, I'll take it, Lord. I receive, Lord God. And I know that everything that comes from you is a gift from above, Lord. It's a blessing, Lord. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is, Lord. Everything is a blessing, Lord. So, Lord, bless us just now, Lord, as we ask, Father, you'd be with us and you'd come and dwell with us, Lord God, as we worship you, Father, as we sing songs, Lord God. May you water this word, Lord God, that, Father, was brought forth. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord. All I can do is cast the seed, Lord. Now you're the one that gives the increase, Lord. In all of our lives, Lord, may you increase this great spiritual economy, Lord. May the spiritual economy of Satan diminish in our lives and the natural economy only be where we need just to kind of live naturally, Lord, just to help us, Lord, to thrive naturally, Lord, but also we want to thrive so much more spiritually, Lord. Help us, Lord God, we pray. We just commit these things all to you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. God bless you all. May God give you the increase. Amen.